Well, good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning, and I would greatly appreciate your prayers. The Lord gave me this week before last, and I didn't, thank you, didn't really know. I figured that he had it for us last Sunday, and then we had to cancel church last Sunday because of the snow. But when I began to pray for this Sunday, he brought this to me again and added some. So I'd like to talk about, I guess if you were to have a title this morning, it would be A God of Renewal. And so I'd like to consider that this morning. It's kind of hard for us as humans to really restore and renew things. People do it to old cars and furniture. But when they do, it's usually a case of patching things up and covering things up. And you still have, when you restore furniture, you maybe sand it down and refinish it, but you've still got the old wood underneath. And something that's renewed is not really renewed. It's not new. It's got some problems that were not there when it was new. A lot of times, an old car that's been renewed is probably not going to behave quite as good or have as long of a life expectancy from then on out as a brand new car. So that's the way humans do it. But God does it a lot better, as he does in everything. I was reading about the Titanic. It's down there on, it's down there at the bottom of the ocean, many thousands of feet deep in the ocean. And when you get down there that deep, you know that steel doesn't rust down there? Because the rust has to have, it's an electrochemical reaction, and rust has to have some oxygen to work. And the amount of oxygen down there that deep in the ocean is too low for rust to operate. Well, the Titanic is still eroding. You know why? Because God created, in his creation, he created steel-eating bacteria. There is bacteria that eats steel. You know, we have in the world, we have plastic that is, you know, it's man-made, and it's really, it takes a long time for it to degrade, but it does degrade. In just the last few years, scientists have discovered that I think it's two different types of worms that are able to digest plastic. They eat it. And so they are trying to think of ways that involve using many of these worms to combat the plastic waste problem that we have. There have been civilizations on the earth all over the place for thousands of years. But if there hasn't been one for a long time, you can go back to that place, maybe find artifacts in the ground. But what you see is God's creation beautifully renewed. The trees grow back, the forests, the fields, all of those things, the natural processes. And all of the trash that man makes and all of the pollution and all that, you give it enough time and God has designed a process of renewal for the earth. There, it's amazing to me. It heals itself. You get even heals itself from some of its own natural processes. You get a lot of dry brush. Maybe you have a couple years of drought and you have a lot of dry brush that's not there, or that's preventing good growth and all that. And you know what you have after that? You have a fire. And the fire comes through and it burns all of that. And then you look at the black scorched earth and you think, what good could possibly ever come out of this? And then after a while, you see some brilliant green shoots poking up through the ground here and there. And in no time at all, you see new, brand new vegetation. Well, that is all because of the way God made it. He made the earth to be self-healing. He is a God of renewal. And I believe that he gave us these examples so that we could understand how he renews other things too. I'd like to notice that the erosion and the decay, you know, we were talking about steel-eating bacteria. It's amazing to me that there is steel-eating bacteria, but what a testimony, a testament to God and his wonderful wisdom. They didn't even have steel back then. They had iron because God created iron. But God designed those things. I believe he saw into the future and he knew the things that were going to be created, the different compounds that we would come up with. And he designed his creation to not only combat the pollution, the trash and all that that happened back then, but he designed it to take care of stuff that's more modern, like plastic. And I think it's just amazing that God is a God of renewal. He renews his creation. And the erosion and the decay, the steel-eating bacteria, we think of it sometimes as being just that, erosion and decay. You know, the fire burned this, and the rust got this, and all of that, and the decay. You know what? It's really just part of the renewing process. It's part of God's process to renew things, to make them brand new. All the erosion and decay doesn't lead toward chaos. It doesn't lead toward a breakdown of nature. It leads toward a renewal of God's creation. And that is very interesting. We're going to talk about some of that this morning. I'd like to turn, you've got your Bible, turn with me to Ezekiel 37. I'd like to read some very familiar scriptures here. In Ezekiel 37 and 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So they've been dead a long time. Some people that had died. It spoke of former life. That's what anytime you see a great big limb or something, it's not just some object that you can stub your toe against. It's a testimony that there was something there that grew. Something there that there was life. And it grew. You see a big tree that went down? A story. There's a whole story behind that. All the growth rings, you cut that tree open, you see all the growth rings. You can see about years of drought. You can see evidence of all of these things. You can see evidence of when the tree maybe started to get diseased and what happened, what caused it to fall, what caused the limb to fall, all of those things. But something that is like that is a testimony that there was something there at one time. And so that's what Ezekiel saw. He didn't just see a valley full of bones. He saw a valley that told a story of people that had once been alive and thrived and prospered. But now there was nothing. There wasn't anything except a testimony of something that was past and dried up. The scripture, I think there's a scripture that says a living dog is better than a dead lion. It didn't matter if there were kings laying there. Didn't matter if there were nobles, how rich they were, what kind of influence they had. There were bones laying there and there was nothing they could do. There was no influence that they could have. Their hope for any future activity was gone. And so in the 11th verse, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Well, first, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, O Lord God, thou knowest. I think he was maybe afraid to say, oh yeah, they can. Well, he just left it up to God. He said, Lord, and maybe all he meant was, Lord, I don't know if this is in your plan or not for him to live. You can do it, but will you? I don't know. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know what he meant. But the Lord said in the 11th verse, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. You know, these people, they were still a functioning nation. They were living there. Now, Ezekiel was written in a time where they had already, it was in part of the captivity, I believe. But they were still people that were part of a nation. Whether I think some of them had been left there in Israel still, and some of them were in Babylon. And he said, our bones are dried and our hope is lost because we used to be alive. We used to be a country of people that served the Lord. And we had promises like we read about earlier in the Sunday school where the Lord told Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you. Well, that hope is gone. That ship has sailed, so to speak. We don't have that anymore. We don't have anything that we can look forward to. We don't have any victories that we can accomplish. All that we are seeing is that we're dead. We don't know what we're going to do. We can't resurrect ourselves. And the Lord could have, at that point, he could have forsaken them. But he didn't. He said, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now we know that the house of Israel was not physically dead. This was a vision that Ezekiel saw. It was a valley of bones. It represented the spiritual state of the house of Israel. And they themselves, the Lord said that they themselves looked at it and said, we're all washed up. We're done. We're full of idolatry and iniquity. We don't know what to do. We don't know. We don't have any hope left. I don't know who all was saying that. It seems like some people were still thinking they were in favor with God and they were all proud and everything. But maybe by this point in time, after the captivity had already started, maybe they were starting to think, you know what, I don't know what we're going to do. We're done. And maybe they were lamenting and saying, you know, we used to have such a prosperous and good nation. And the Lord was with us. And the Lord was helping us. And Ezekiel, the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to take these bones and I'm going to put flesh on them. And I'm going to put breath in them. And I'm going to cause them to come out of their graves. And they're going to stand up and they're going to walk. And they're going to live and be a mighty army. He wasn't talking about in a physical sense. He was talking about in a spiritual sense. And really, the true fulfillment of this did not come until Jesus came. He was talking about when Jesus was going to come and bring salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which we are still benefited with today. And he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you and ye shall live and I shall place you in your own land. And this was not speaking, and I believe we can demonstrate this by other scriptures, but this was not speaking of them being placed back in their physical land of Israel. And now Israel is the capital of spirituality in the world. But it was talking about that they were going to have the land of their rest, the Sabbath rest that the Lord promised to everyone that believes in Jesus and has the Holy Spirit, where they can be free from sin, free from the things that bound them, free from the giants and all of those things that had sway and victory over them, and they could be victorious and prosper in their souls. That's what this is talking about. And so Jesus, or Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Jesus told, it was either Mary or Martha. I don't remember which one he told. I think it was maybe Martha. But he told her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I believe a lot of times that we can look at situations where maybe it's relatives, family members, or friends that seem like that there's no hope, that the hope is lost. They're dead. Maybe they used to have an experience, or maybe they never have shown even the inkling of interest. Maybe their life is a mess. Maybe their thought processes are so messed up. Maybe they have mental issues. You know, the Lord has the ability. That's what He's all about. He's a God of renewal. Maybe it isn't a relative or a friend. Maybe it's you yourself. Maybe you have things that have been present with you since you were a little child that you have no idea how you can fix. Thought processes and things that have ruled your mind. Do you know the Lord is a God of renewal this morning? He said that I make all things new. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I don't believe that this scripture means that if any person goes and gets saved, that all of a sudden, all of their problems are gone, all of their thoughts are fixed, but the Lord begins a process of restoration and renewal. Don't try to figure out don't look at somebody else's life and say, you know, I wonder how we could untangle this. You know, many times the Lord is the only one that has the answer, and He will have to move mountains in somebody's life in order to fix, but that's what He's all about. He moves mountains and he does the impossible. He is a God of the impossible. And He does impossible things, but they're not impossible with God. Everything, all things are possible with God. And so we are never too wicked to be saved. We're never too sick to be healed. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. I'm speaking in a physical sense. The things that God can do, they supersede, they go beyond the things that we do and the things that we think that we can do. Stop making plans and think, what if this person, I don't know how they could ever come back and be. The Lord can renew. The Lord can bring life. The Lord can raise dry bones to life. And when He told that to Ezekiel, He said, can these bones live? Maybe Ezekiel was thinking of all the things that would have to happen to those bones to cause them to live. And God did it. Ezekiel didn't have to figure out how. Ezekiel didn't know how the flesh came on the bones. He didn't know how the sinews were laid on there. He didn't know how the skin came up over it. All he knew was that it happened and that God did it. And the Lord wants to do that for us today. He promised, and this is one of the most beautiful scriptures, when He stood up in the synagogue and He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And one of the things that He said is to give beauty for ashes. You bring your ashes. Whatever the mess, you know what ashes are? They're something that used to be real and it got burned up. That's what ashes are. Something that's been trashed. Something that's been destroyed. And the Lord's, and maybe you destroyed it. Maybe it's you. Maybe you ruined everything. And the Lord said, you come and you bring that. All your ashes, all your mess, all your wreck, all of your mind, all of the evil that, all of your addictions, all of those things, you bring those to me. And I'm a God of renewal. Complete renewal. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This is talking about in situations where you would think that the young people, the ones that are in the prime of life, would have the best chance of getting through the situation. Talking about rough situations here. There will be times when you would think that those people that are in the prime of life and in the prime, their prime physically and mentally, all of that, that they'd have the best chance to stand. But God said that there will be times when even they will faint. Not going to be able to get through. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we had a little discussion in the Sunday school about pressing on through adversity because the Lord's with us. Not caving in the face of opposition because the Lord's with us. Because that's what He does. You know, Jesus had some very trying circumstances. Jesus Himself, the one that we worship, our Savior. When He was in the garden, He had a time where He said, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Was He shrinking back from the Father's will? No. But He was in some of the most trying circumstances that human beings have ever been subjected to. And He looked at that and His humanity cried out against it and shrank back in fear. But yet He said, I want Your will to be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And when He was praying, it said there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And He was in that time, and He had the agony, and His flesh recoiled at the thought of going to the cross. But an angel came and strengthened Him, and He was able to go through with it. And after that, there was no hint, no sign of Him shrinking back anymore. Because He found the place where He found the Father's will. He was submissive to it. He found complete submission to it. And He came, and then He was able to be subjected to the death of the cross and face it head on. Because God came and renewed His spirit. And if Jesus needed to have renewal to His spirit, don't you think that you and I need that too? There are circumstances that we can get in that are utterly beyond our power to remedy or to cope with. But the Lord has promised that they that wait upon the Lord, in times when the youths will utterly fall, that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And we see that He did that for Jesus. And He will do it for you, and He will do it for me. Now I'd like to turn to Ephesians 4 and 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I'd like to skip down a little bit to verse 22. This is where I'm trying to get to. That ye put off, or maybe in the 21st verse, if so be that ye have heard Him, talking about Christ, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And having put on... I skipped down. I wrote down another scripture here. That's what Ephesians 4 and 24 says, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3 and 10 expresses it in a little bit different fashion. It says, and have put on the new man, which is created in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? It says that man was created in the image of God. I believe that Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, not just in, you know, we can talk about what all that means, but I believe that at least part of what that verse means is that Adam was created in righteousness, and Eve in righteousness and holiness, because that's what God is. They were created holy beings like God. But when they fell, When God allowed them to be tempted, they succumbed to the temptation and they fell. They lost that part of being in the image of God. They were no longer holy and righteous people. They were fallen. And God said in Colossians, he said, the new man which is renewed. The old things are passed away. It's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I believe the scripture bears out, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, that it's not that the renewing and the perfection that God wants to perform in us is not an instantaneous process. But it's something that the Lord works in us throughout our lives. As we say yes to God, then we become more and more like him. But we have to actively do some things in order to allow God for this to happen. He said, you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I think another place in Colossians 3 says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Those things are part of a different paradigm, a different life, a whole different kingdom. Put off those things because God has renewed you and made you a new creature. And so it says, walk. If you're in the light, you're in the light. Walk as children of light. I think another place puts it. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I have found that since I've been saved, there have been things that have followed me into my life with Christ that were part of what I grew up with back there. Thought processes and things that are not like God. Some of those things I had no knowledge of. And when they came to me, when it was revealed to me that I had those things still inside, it was a shock to me. I didn't know I was like that. But once I knew and once the Lord convicted me, you know, the Lord has a process of renewal that he wants to perform in us. There are things that maybe we have had present with us all the way back to the beginning of our lives. Maybe it's even genetic. I don't know exactly how genetics work to this extent, but I know that a lot of times traits can be in a family, for generations. You can have somebody, maybe somebody's just really stubborn. And then they have some children and, you might hear somebody say, well, like father, like son, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. They're just like that. Or maybe somebody has a tendency to hold grudges. Do you know that the Lord is a God of renewal? And that the things that you don't have to say, you know what? This is just my weakness. This is just my family weakness. It's been, you go back, my great-great-grandmother had this, and then she passed it down to her children. They passed it down to their children. And it's going to be really hard for me to get rid of this. And it'll probably always taint me to some extent. I want to tell you that the Lord is a God of renewal. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just in the last year, there were some things that I found out about myself that were not like God. And I started seeking the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is not like you. And I see it. And I don't want anything to do with it. And I want to tell you today that the Lord has been able. He's always able. I don't even want to put it like that. But by the grace of God, the Lord has transformed that part of my mind as far as I can tell, where I'm not like that anymore. And the things that were just a rut in my mind, you know, it's a rut is really easy to get into. And you have, when you have a rut like in your driveway, and it just kind of carved a channel through there, maybe it's something that then when it rains, the water flows through there, it's easy for your wheels to just kind of slip into it. Well, when we have ruts in our minds, habits that we've formed, it's just kind of real easy to slip. The Lord wants to fill those ruts in. It doesn't matter if they're generational. It doesn't matter how many generations have been baked into your thought processes and your makeup. Maybe there's even hormones and chemicals, imbalances and things that contribute to it. The Lord is a God of renewal this morning. And He can change the things that have been makeup in your family for generations. It can stop with you. The scripture talks about a root of bitterness troubling many. Many be defiled. But you know, the Lord also talks about they that turn many to righteousness. He wants you to turn many to righteousness in your life. I don't know what your particular mission is in life this morning. I'm sure that it's different than mine. Mine's different than yours. But every single one of us, I can guarantee that part of your mission in life is to change many, or to turn many to righteousness. That's part of your mission. If you have children this morning, your job, part of your mission, is to turn them to righteousness. To influence them in that direction. To be godly. So, how does the Lord renew us? 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I used to read this and think that that only applies to salvation. The time when I can point back and say, well, I have been saved 30 years ago, whatever it is, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we don't really think about the blood being active in our lives after that point. But listen to this scripture. We won't turn there, but it's Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I've been reading some about the purpose of blood circulation in our body. You know what it does? You know what blood circulation, you know the importance of it? It carries oxygen and nutrients to your cells. But it also takes waste away from your cells. That's the purpose of blood circulation. And I believe that the Lord set it up like that to teach us about what the power of His blood does in our own lives. When you get saved, there are things, there are thought processes and habits and things that the Lord wants by His blood to eradicate. And if you will walk in the light as He is in the light, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Now, we have plenty of scripture to teach that when you know that something is wrong, the grace of God can keep you from doing that. But what about all the things that you don't know are there? The things that, or the things that you have an imperfect understanding of, and you don't even, things that you're working toward, and you see the goal, and you see where the Lord wants you, and the Lord will take you step by step there. What about those things? It says that through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So as you live, the Lord, with the blood that was shed, will use that to purify you and to perfect you and to get rid of those things little by little. And when I say little by little, I think a lot of times we can move a whole lot faster than we do because we can be obstinate and slow moving and stubborn, and things sometimes don't ever get eradicated. And then we become old and we have these problems that stick out so bad to other people. And it's because the Lord wanted to take it away a long time ago, and we were just way too slow and stiff-necked to let it happen. So let the Lord to do that. Now, John 15. John 15. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, every year I have some peach trees, and I haven't learned a whole lot about them yet, but I know that peaches grow on one-year-old limbs. And so I have to keep that in mind. But every year I have to go and I have to lop a lot of limbs off. And you know what? I was reading the other day, that's part of what pruning is. But you know what else they do? Whenever the fruit starts coming on, these gardeners that produce great, big, juicy, beautiful peaches, they might have a tree that's loaded with these little green peaches that haven't developed yet, and they will go and pluck a bunch of them off because it won't get the most yield that way. They might get a whole bunch of peaches, but they'll be undeveloped or underdeveloped and hard and not as sweet. And so they go through there. You know, the Lord, a lot of times I believe that we can look at our life and we can see, hey, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. And the Lord really surely ought to be pleased with me because I've got these traits. And the Lord's looking and He sees exactly what He wants to do to you. And so He starts going, the master gardener, and He wants to go through there and He wants to change your thinking. He wants to change your thought processes, and He wants to guide you to where He's got something in mind, but He doesn't show us ahead of time what it is. He just shows us little by little. And so may the Lord help us that we will yield to the Lord every time. Remember what this says: if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's the key to it all. First, the Lord reveals something to us and says, you know, this is, or maybe He sends us through a trial or something like that. And we look at it and we can see, you know what, I've got some work to do here. And some people fight it. Some people prolong it. And because they're obstinate, stubborn, and the Lord really can't do anything with that. But then some people let the Lord develop His grace in their lives, and they produce more and more fruit. And it's not the kind of fruit that you and I think we ought to bear all the time, because a really good gardener picks off some fruit. But the Lord knows what fruit He wants in you. And He will develop it if we will let Him. He's a God of renewal. He takes away the bad stuff, the branches and all that. And then He will produce some really good fruit in our lives. Now I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 4 and 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, our bodies are going to grow old and decay. The scripture says we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. We are here to prepare for eternity. We are here to do all we can for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And then it's eternity. We're not going to live forever. We're not going to be young forever. We're not going to be strong forever. The Lord is not interested in continually renewing this physical body. Although He promises us that He will be our healer and all of that, that is for the purpose of us being able to accomplish the mission that He gave us to do. And when He's done, He's going to call us home. He said, "Our outward man perishes, but our inward man is renewed day by day." And sometimes we get in the busyness of life and all of the situations, we get to where we get so tired and we get so maybe overcharged and all of that, and we need some renewal, don't we? The Lord has the ability to do that, and the Lord has done that for me many, many times. Renewed my spirit, renewed my focus, renewed my purpose, renewed my strength. And I want to encourage you this morning that that's what God will do for you. Revelations 21, we're almost done. Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And then you can read about the holy city, the new Jerusalem. I'm not going to read all that this morning. But in the fourth verse, He said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." It's as if He said it with great excitement. Look what I'm doing. He's always been a God of renewal. It's not something that He's going to change whenever we get to this new phase called eternity. But He said, "Behold, I make all things new." You know, when we get there, our bodies will be renewed. Something that they're going to, I think, was it Peter that called it our vile body that's going to be corrupt? That's not what we're not shooting for. Perpetual, the fountain of youth, as one early American explorer was looking for. We're not looking for that. We don't have a continuing city. We seek one to come. God is a God of renewal. In the 22nd chapter, it said, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." Remember what God said whenever Adam and Eve sinned? He said, "I'm going to drive them out of the tree of the Garden of Eden, lest they should put their hand unto the tree of life and live forever." He cut it off. He cut off the ability to do that. But here we see it restored. In the time that's coming, the future, this is something that is in every one of our future. If we will be faithful and walk in the light and stay with Jesus, We're going to have a renewed body. We're going to see a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. I don't know what all it's going to be like. We talk about streets of gold and all that. I don't know exactly the details of it. But it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to be able, I believe we're going to be able to see people that have already gone on. We're going to know them. They're going to know us. I believe we're going to be able to know people that we never knew but we've read about, like Abraham and Simeon, Paul, Daniel, Job, Noah. Those people, I believe we're going to be able to know them. And I believe that they're all going to have renewed bodies. If you knew people that passed on that were riddled with disease, they're not going to have that anymore. They're going to be renewed. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to, is that when we get there, we're going to be renewed. And we're going to have the tree of life right there. And we'll live forever in the paradise of God, in the heaven of God. And God will wipe away all tears. And I believe that the things that we asked why and the questions that we have, I believe we're going to see the whole picture. And we're going to see the reasons. And we're going to be able to look at it all. And the only thing that we'll be able to say, that we'll even want to say, is holy, holy, holy. The Lord's right. Everything that He did was right. I see it now because I've been renewed. So may the Lord help us today. I want to challenge you this morning to not think of God as some distant entity, but a God of renewal. A God of life, a God of second chances, a God of forgiveness, a God of love. Wherever you are in your journey of life, the Lord can renew you. If you're dead, the Lord can renew you. If you have thought processes that you've always had and you have no hope for, the Lord can renew you. If you have relatives that seems like there's no hope for, the Lord can renew them. May the Lord encourage us today with these thoughts from His Word. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.